Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Great. Great to be here again on Sunday evening. Hope you all had an awesome Lord's Day and a good week. And
yes.
Another good week coming up.
Yeah.
And we're here on Sunday evenings at 7:30 to read God's Word and do some teaching and do some discussion. And hope you're all listening and have your Bible ready.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're in the period of time now between the resurrection and the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, we'll have Pentecost. So we are going to, and if you've been listening the last couple of weeks since the resurrection, we've talked about some of Jesus's appearances and some of the interactions he had with especially my friend Peter and some of the other guys. And I know Peter's waiting for me. And
your favorite apostle.
Going to have a couple of words. But.
Yeah. Just a couple?
I'm avoiding him, actually, when I get there. If I see him coming, I'm going the other direction. But anyway, I don't think he still holds grudges, though. He's past all that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's no unforgiveness in heaven.
That's right. That's right. And he's actually looking forward to going to Starbucks with Paul and me anyway. That's what I heard. And Stephen, too, of course. Anyway, enough of that. So now, you know, we're coming up on the ascension. And so this week and next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the events immediately before the ascension and then the ascension itself. And then, of course, the powerful feast day of Pentecost, which, as I hope most of you know, was one of the great feasts of the Lord, one of the feasts of Israel. And it's when in a Christian perspective, when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room.
Right.
And is really considered the birth of the church, because then this sorry bunch of guys was empowered to do ministry. And they went out and evangelized the whole known world. And we're still continuing that.
Right.
Or we should be continuing that, because there's more and more people all the time that need to be evangelized. And unfortunately, in our time, we have to re-evangelize
right. The
places that had been evangelized.
Yeah, there's a great need for even the nations that once were, Christian nations need to be re-evangelized and refined.
And if you look at Western Europe and you look at the United States and Canada, you see the best examples of that.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get into all the events of this past week, but maybe we should do something like that in an upcoming show, because you may have heard the other day that we now have a federal judge that says there really should only be 6 commandments, because 4 of them really don't apply to us anymore, because now we're a pluralistic society.
Yeah.
So he wants to remove some commandments. So and November's coming up. So think before you vote.
Yeah, we really do need to pray and elect righteous leaders.
Yes. Maybe we should do a radio show about
that. And so many people get into the Democrat-Republican thing, and if they're conservative or they're liberal, that type of thing. And it's really about, what does God want?
Exactly.
It's really about upholding what God has given and established.
Yeah.
And certainly there's going to be people that have opposing views of what they believe and what they hold true. But we believe as believers that Jesus is the Messiah. If we believe that he rose from the dead and we uphold to the scriptures, and the scriptures are revealed to us by God through people, through men and women, but that God reveals himself through the pages of sacred scripture as he unfolds the plan of salvation.
Exactly.
And if we take those words just lightly and don't really apply them into our heart, then we're kind of like, you know, we're, it's in 1 Peter where it says that we're like, you know, someone that looks in the mirror and then we just go off and forget what we look like.
It's the book of James. Yeah, and you book walk away, forget what you look like. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't remember, you know, in the Torah, the five books of Moses.
Yes.
I don't recall any verse that says, you know, here's the Ten Commandments, but if you feel like maybe having five or six or four or two, you can adjust it however you see fit.
the optional books of Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might have been in a book that never made it into the canon, but...
Could be.
Anyway, let's go to a book that did make it into the canon.
That would be a good reason why it didn't make it into the canon, though. So yeah,
we're going to start in the book of Acts right at the beginning. So I'm going to see if Stephen will read, because I like when he reads the scripture verses. But Steve, if you could read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 for starters.
Okay. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
Hmm. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So this book, of course, was written by Luke, St. Luke,
right?
The same person who wrote the book of Luke, Luke's gospel. Yeah. Luke actually wrote a lot. When you take the total volume of the book of the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts,
yeah,
it's a big chunk of the New Testament.
It's a lot of history.
And Luke was a physician. He was a Greek. Most people think he was a Gentile, so he may have been the only Gentile who wrote anything in the scriptures. But he writes to this guy, Theophilus, and nobody really knows who that is. Most people think... that this may have been one whole book, the gospel plus the Acts, but I don't know. But he does say in my first account, so, you know, it seems to me like it's separate. But
right,
we don't know who Theophilus is, you know.
Right.
In the first book where he starts the gospel of Luke, he calls him Most Excellent Theophilus, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now he just calls him Theophilus, so I guess he wasn't excellent anymore.
Well,
but anyway,
didn't want to get, you know, lofty and didn't want pride to get
pride,
in there. And,
that's right. Yeah. He was always boasting about being excellent. So we don't know if this was a real person, if this was like a symbolic title, you know, because Theophilus, of course, means lover of God in Greek. And so this may have been a book. Remember, the church is under persecution at this time. It may have been just addressed to believers in general, or he might have been an official person, but a real person, we don't know. But anyway, Luke really did a lot of detailed research into the life of Jesus. And most people by tradition think that he spent a lot of time with Mary, Virgin Mary, learning a lot of information about the details. You know, he has the infancy accounts and he has the, you know, the Annunciation from the angel Gabriel. And
right,
he has all this stuff about Zechariah and Elizabeth, which the other gospels don't really have, So he got a lot of details. So it's, and you know, you can kind of see him interviewing Mary, interviewing some other people, taking notes, and, you know, and then
putting everything down on his iPad.
And then he went home and typed it all up. And,
yep.
And so he really got a lot of information and he wanted to write, he says, he wanted to write down what Jesus did and taught.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly, the did part, if you look through Luke's gospel, you know, it's a lot of parables and Jesus doing miracles and healing. And, you know, he did a lot of things.
Right.
As well as the teachings. He did and taught. And, of course, what he said was confirmed by signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear a teaching and then you see something amazing happen, it makes an impression on you that what you just heard is something unusual, something supernatural, that this really came from God.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nicodemus even said this in John 3:2, where he says, we know that you're a teacher from God. You know, he's talking to Jesus at night because he doesn't want any of the other Pharisees to know he's there because, you know, he's got to keep his job.
but
you can get kicked out of the Pharisee department if you're talking to Jesus too much.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to go work at 7-Eleven or something.
They'd hate
that. But
a deli or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make Reubens all day. And so, you know, he even says to Jesus, we know that you come from God, which is an interesting thing, because when signs and wonders accompany what he did, they knew that he came from God. And And let's face it, you know, the best ministry is done when people do and teach. You know, you can teach a lot, but if you don't do anything, or you can do a lot, you know, but if you do and teach, that's a really powerful ministry.
Yeah.
And, you know, Luke wanted to do this. And it, interestingly, too, that this starts a new book, and this is really a beginning of something new.
Yes.
Different than the Gospel of Luke. Because now Jesus is kind of wrapping up his earthly time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're going to move into something different. And, you know, it's part of the unfolding of the plan because, you know, he told his disciples many times that he was going to be leaving. And they were like, oh, man, where are you going? You know, don't leave yet. Where can we come with you? Where are you going? And, you know, he kind of let them know he was going to be leaving. It was part of the plan. And Luke kind of is going to lay out how, you know, greater things are going to come even because they don't know it yet, but Pentecost is literally right around the corner, like, you know, 9 or 10 days from when this is being, when this is happening. So it was important to know, to give people a record, a scriptural record of all the things and the miracles that happened while Jesus was here. And then the book of Acts after Jesus left and the Spirit came down.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the work that Jesus had been doing, earthly work, so to speak, was going to be done by these men that he appointed under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So this is kind of an interesting transition point. And he's going to point out as this goes on, and we're not going to go through the whole book of Acts, but he's going to point out that this was their work was going to be built on this foundation. Everything's built on the foundation of Jesus and what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
And they had walked with him and hung out with him and, you know, in a very real human way, just like we hang out with somebody or, you know, we have dinner with somebody and talk and we sit around at night and talk about philosophy and life and so forth. I mean, this is what they did for 3 years.
Right.
And it was interesting because they were, whether they were in Galilee or whether they were in Jerusalem, they had firsthand experience with him, and now he was going to leave. I mean, this was going to be kind of traumatic for them. But, you know, he told them he was going to leave many times and then also told them that, you know, if he doesn't leave, the Spirit can't come.
Right.
And they, of course, really didn't know what that meant.
Right. Yeah, no, they really didn't.
They, you know.
Well, like even in, if we look back into the third chapter of Luke, where John the Baptist is saying, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. That he, you know, John the Baptist is saying, I'm not even worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Even John the Baptist knew that this baptism of the Holy Spirit was going to take place.
Yes.
And it's going to be fulfilled here in the church.
Yeah.
It's going to be fulfilled here in a few weeks.
And he's going to tell them in a very short time, in a very few days.
Yeah.
And interestingly, since he was the foundation and his teaching was the foundation and what he told these people that he walked with in Galilee and in Jerusalem was the foundation, we're still working on that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not walking around the Sea of Galilee with him and saying, hey, Lord, what about this? What about that? And he says, listen to this. Listen to me when I tell you this and getting direct teaching. But we're still walking around the shores of Lake Erie or wherever you happen to be, still doing that work based on that foundation. And even though we don't walk with him physically, he's here and the power of the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to do that. So it's a continuation right from this dialogue that they have with him, or I should say this little talk that he gives them before he leaves. You know, we're still working on that foundation.
Right. Right. The, you know, Jesus says that he didn't come to do his own will, but that of the Father.
Yeah.
And everything he spoke, he heard the Father speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
So his words are not his own,
but
it's what the Father speaks. And as we were talking about earlier, you know, our teaching is not our own.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that want to make up their own teachings.
Right.
They want to have their own God.
Yes.
They want to make God into their own image.
A lot of that nowadays.
A lot of that nowadays. They want to remake themselves into a different person.
We want God to be really nice.
Yeah. And when you go down that path, you not only deny who God is, but you also deny who you are and who God created you to be.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And it is a, you know, it's a time that we're living in where certainly there, you know, the age that we're living in has been ever since Jesus ascended to heaven till the time that he returns is the end of the age.
Yes.
So it's nothing new that there's people that want, you know, they make up their own doctrines, they make up their own rules and regulations, those types of things. It's, it certainly is, that's not the, this is no, not the first time that this is happening in our history.
Right.
But there's so much communication in our culture today, in our world, that it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
And it happens at a, you know, in a blink of an eye, we can have information from anywhere around the world brought to us.
Yeah.
And there's all these different thoughts, all these different ideas that people have. And if we are, if we're not anchored to the rock, to the truth, to the word made flesh.
Wow.
We're not going to be if the storm that comes hits our house and our house is not built on solid rock, meaning the foundation of my faith is not built on Jesus Christ.
Right.
Where am I going to wind up at? Am I going to wind up somewhere down the river, you know, believing
If you're on the shifting sand.
If you're on the shifting sand, where do you wind up at?
Yeah.
You know, because it's, excellent. It's a really, almost, I don't want to say, you know, it's somewhat of a perilous time that we live in.
Very.
That, you know, the believers, those who believe and have been baptized in the Holy Spirit can't be asleep. We have to be awake. We have to be sober. Like Paul would say, you know, we have to be awake and be sober because the time is short.
Yeah. Just look what's going on in our society, what's going on in our culture.
Yeah. And, you know, culture is going to happen simply because people, that's what happens with culture. I mean, it just happens. And if ideas and thoughts gain belief, even though they might not be true, people will believe them anyway.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's,
and, you know, another excellent teacher who's on this radio station, I don't know if you ever listened to the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff. I love the one thing he always says, that you should become so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you recognize it immediately.
Amen.
Yeah, because if you don't, if you're not anchored on that foundation, then you say, well, that sounds good, that sounds good. Wow, that sounds really good over there. And then you're shifting around. And Jesus knew that this was going to happen.
Yes.
Which is why he talks about the Spirit coming. And, you know, he continued his work. I mean, he's just about to ascend into heaven.
Yeah.
And he's still preaching. He's still teaching. He's still continuing his work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes back to heaven, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in the book of Hebrews says he's going through the veil as the eternal priest, the eternal high priest.
Right.
And he's still continuing his work now as the eternal high priest on the other side of the, quote, veil.
Right.
And read the book of Hebrews for your homework. We're not going to go over all that today. But this is the transition between the work he's doing here and the work he's doing eternally at the right hand of the Father as the high priest.
Amen.
And, you know, he had commissioned these guys. He had told them that the Holy Spirit was coming. He had breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit's going to remind them of everything that I've told you. Going to bring that all back to mind.
Yeah.
And this was the beginning of the ministry that they were going to do through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I hear Paul Wilbur.
Is he here?
Ooh, no, but this is a great CD. Okay. Go on the website, wilburministries.com, and buy Desert Rain. This is Gift of Grace Ministries. We'll be right back. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa. The Lord is my strength and my
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. And you can also go to our website, not just Paul Wilber's website, which is giftofgraceministries.org.
Yeah.
And Stephen has put, I think, just about all the radio shows on there, and there's some other stuff on there.
We're up to date.
Yeah, and you can look for us on Facebook, too. So we're in Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus is about to ascend back to the Father, and we're talking about, before the break, we talked about how he had commissioned them and had breathed on them, and, you know, it says in that account, the first few verses there that Steve read, about how he showed proof that he was alive. You know, Jesus had told them that he was going to conquer death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting now, because there's many proofs that he was alive. He was seen by many witnesses. So there were honest accounts by a lot of people. And it wasn't like a hearsay of one person or two people saying, oh, yeah, you know, I think I saw him over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like there were witnesses that had actually seen him. And, you know, some translations say it's infallible proof. It's the Greek word actually means there are plain indications that he was really alive.
Right.
So they experienced him in a very real way.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, some cosmic thing. Plus he ate and drank with them.
Right.
Walked with them. Barbecued fish. Said, hey, what do you guys want for breakfast? I got some fish and some toast
here.
And they knew that it was he himself. They knew that it was he and not somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody that looked like him.
Right.
He showed him the marks on his hands.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas, yeah, feel this, put your hand here. You know, there were 40 days of these things, which, you know, he knew their weaknesses and their doubts. So the fact that he came to them and showed himself to them and they saw that it was him and not somebody else, that it wasn't a ghost, you know, like he mm-hmm. said in Luke 24, you know, come and feel me because I got flesh and bones. Yeah. It was a body.
Right.
And he ate fish. And he wanted to encourage them to, because this would better help them to understand his teachings, his instructions to them, because they knew that this was a real thing. This was part of his work that he commissioned him. And it says he spoke about the things of the kingdom. Now, this is a radical change for them. You know, we're going from law to grace, as we talk very much in this show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going from law to grace. And, you know, he basically had told them, you're going to have tribulation here, but in the next world, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And he's also gotten them ready for the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so this is a real strong transition point.
And, you know, whenever Jesus saw them, he always said, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and many times that he saw them, he said, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, this is a real transitional time for mm-hmm. these 12 mm-hmm. apostles, these 12 disciples of Jesus.
Confusing time.
Confusing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's risen from the dead. They're trying to... They haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to figure out and understand all that's taking place here
mm-hmm.
because they wanted Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah. Peter's wondering if he's got to go back to his fishing business.
Right. You know, they're thinking as human beings think.
Yeah.
Because we see a limited perspective of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is encouraging them,
mm-hmm.
and he's also preparing them for what's going to take place next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even before his passion, he said, you know, there's much I want to tell you now, but you can't bear it.
Yeah.
You know, so he's doing all this, as you said, in signs of visible signs that he's being seen by different individuals, and not by everyone, but just mm-hmm. by those whom God chose.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when he was sitting at table with them, he broke the bread, mm-hmm. said the blessing,
mm-hmm.
and they would recognize, they like the road to Emmaus, they recognize him in the breaking of the bread.
Yeah,
you know, so the same mm-hmm. the same blessing that he said at the Last Supper or the mm-hmm. Seder,
yeah,
when he's at a meal with his disciples after this, after the resurrection, he's taking the bread and he's doing the same thing. He's blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it with them. Mm-hmm. And they recognize him.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, he's instructing them and he's telling them, you know, the Messiah would have to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. And that these men, mm-hmm. these, you know, men and women that are there, they're the witnesses of these things. And I'm sending, and I'm going to be sending the promise of the Father to you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.
Yeah, yeah. Let's read that.
Okay.
Read 4 and 5 first.
Okay.
Then we'll get to a funnier part.
A funnier part?
Well, not funny like ha ha.
All right. But. Now, this was in, Jesus spoke this in Luke, in the chapter, well, chapter 24 of Luke, but in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1, it's also in there as well.
Uh-huh.
And he says, while meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Woo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't understand what that meant, but they were going to find out soon.
They didn't see that in Luke 23.
They didn't.
Yeah, they missed that.
That's right. They missed that. They hadn't read Luke 23 yet. But anyway, Luke didn't get that book out fast enough.
Oh, that was the, oh yeah, that's right.
Publishing
there was
problems.
A problem with the publisher and the printer. Yeah.
Copying scrolls over. But anyway, this is interesting because he commands them not to leave Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where they're saying this, you know, he's telling them, you have to stay in Jerusalem because of what you just read. The mm-hmm. word goes forth from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Psalms, it says in the book of Isaiah that the word of God goes forth from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Before he told them, you know, go up to Galilee and I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Now he's going to say, he tells them, wait in Jerusalem. You know, you have to wait. You know, this is one of those things where you have to wait upon the Lord. As the song says, you have to wait upon the Lord. And they're going to be, as you know, we're going to, in a little while, they're going to be in the upper room. They're going to be there for the 9 or 10 days.
Don't tell the whole story. Don't give it away.
Yeah, they're going to be praying because they're waiting on the Lord. And they had to, he knew that they had to be ready for what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be in prayer. They had to be of one accord.
Yes.
And more importantly, they had to wait for the appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus could have said, okay, I'm going to ascend right now back to the Father, but wait right here because in 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't the appointed time.
And you know, it's when you say that about the appointed time, there's many times in scriptures that we can look at where God's doing something and then humans take it upon themselves to act.
Exactly.
Outside of God's appointed time.
Exactly.
And yet one of the, like in 1 Samuel, you look at David and Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon. And where Saul was really delivered into David's hands several times, but David would not, he would not bring any kind of harm towards what he said, this is God's anointed.
That's right.
So David listened to God and did not do his own will there.
Yes.
And that's very important,
very
what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. And it was an appointed time. You know, the feasts of the Lord are appointed times. The Bible says these are God's appointed times.
Mm-hmm.
The plan of salvation unfolds through at appointed times. And interestingly, you know, if when you look at it, this was really the only time where people were told to pray for a while and be of one accord and then the Holy Spirit would come. Because after this, after Pentecost, as these guys went through the world preaching, well, they would lay hands on people, the Holy Spirit would fall on them. You know, Peter goes to Cornelius' house and starts preaching. Holy Spirit falls on the whole house. You know, Paul does that all over the place. But here, this was kind of the preparation time.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be of one accord, wait for the appointed time. And it had to be in Jerusalem. Because that's where God has put his name.
Yeah.
That's where the Messiah died.
Right.
It's the place of redemption. So this is where the ministry has to start. And in Psalm 2:6, you know, it says, I'm going to put my king on the holy hill of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where everything has to start.
Yeah.
And although it started there, it went out. I mean, here we are in Ohio, you know, almost 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
And the word is still going out from Jerusalem. And as we said before, We even have to take the word back to Jerusalem because a lot of people there have forgotten it.
Yeah.
And through the whole world. But, you know, he says, this is the promise of my Father. They've heard this before from him.
Yeah.
And when I go, the Father's going to send the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to remind you of everything I said. And, you know, they knew him. He knew their weaknesses. You know, Peter had denied him. The other guys were always talking,
mm-hmm.
you know. So how are they going to go through the world and preach the kingdom? How are they going to stand up to the religious leaders that were clearly against them now? How are they going to stand up to the Romans? How are they going to debate people who were educated?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to reach masses of people throughout the whole Mediterranean world?
Yeah.
There's no way they were going to do that on their own.
You can't do it by debate and by...
No.
Yeah, and even if we try and do that today,
yes,
you wind up with what you have. You have a lot of differences yeah. of opinions. It's all yes. by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And Jesus said, you know, he's going to be another comforter. He's going to be a spirit of comfort. He's going to be a paraclete. He's going mm-hmm. to stand with them. He's going to empower them. And they had been commissioned by Jesus himself, but now they had to wait a short time before this was going to happen, and they were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as you pointed out, John the Baptist talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
Even back, you know, the Holy Spirit, of course, is mentioned in other places in the Old Testament as well. But they were going to experience the Holy Spirit in a much more powerful
way, a much more powerful
outpouring. And we're going to get to that because we're going to talk about, you know, Pentecost. It isn't Pentecost yet. We're going to talk about Pentecost, but, you know, our friend Peter goes out there and starts preaching from Joel chapter 2, and Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. And they knew about John. They knew what John the Baptist had said,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Jesus said, John baptized with water. You know, he was just in the Jordan pouring water on people. And they knew what a mikvah was, you know, the cleansing bath.
Right.
And if you listened a few months ago, we had Rabbi Eric do a whole teaching about the mikvah. And we knew that it was a cleansing and it was a purification. And the priests had to be purified to do their sacred duties. And people had to go through cleansing baths whenever something changed in their life or they were sick and they got better. Women had to do it after childbirth. So they mm-hmm. knew about these mikvahs, these cleansing baths. And so John's baptism, they knew about water. They knew about people being immersed in water. But now Jesus is telling them, you're going to be baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus basically quotes John the Baptist, which is pretty cool.
That's yeah.
really an honor for John the Baptist. It's like, wow, Jesus is quoting me. And, you know, the mikvah water was a sign of repentance and cleansing. But now there was also going to be fire and there was going to be power. And he says it's going to be in not too many days. So in other words, it wasn't a prophecy that was going to come true in 50 more years or 100 more years or 500 more years. It was going to come in a few days' time.
Right.
And he's trying to explain to them what's going to happen and how their life is going to change.
And He even mentions this to Nicodemus. As
yes.
you're talking about this, this is what I'm remembering is, you know, Nicodemus comes to him under the cover of night
mm-hmm.
and is secretly asking
yep.
him, you know, explain this to me.
Yeah,
you know,
what's with that?
And he's like, you're the teacher of Israel. You don't yeah. know about these things?
Yeah.
You know,
Nicodemus had trouble with that born again thing.
yeah. Yeah. There's a whole, how is a person supposed to be born again? Do they go back into their, to the mother's womb?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus is telling him, you know, what's born of flesh is, mm-hmm. is flesh. What's born of spirit mm-hmm. is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this water and fire, this water baptism and this Holy Spirit baptism of fire is essential in the life of those who believe. Because Jesus said, go, you know, you're going to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, mm-hmm. and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So baptism is a very important part of.
Yes.
Being a follower of
absolutely
of Jesus.
Essential. And now he is showing them how this prophecy that John the Baptist said was going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be fulfilled in a very few days.
Yeah.
And these guys knew who John the Baptist was on a pretty, you know, pretty firsthand level. And now they're going to realize that the things that John the Baptist did, and even the things that Jesus did during his earthly ministry, were now going to be, they were going to do even more powerful things.
Yeah.
When the Spirit came.
And, you know, like in, when Jesus sent out the 72, and that's also in Luke, in Luke 10, you know, he says, I'm going to send you out like sheep, like lambs among wolves. You're going to go to homes and say, you know, you know, peace on this household.
Right.
That, and let them know that the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when they returned, you know, they were rejoicing because, you know, they said, you know, we saw some awesome things happening. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven, the book of life. So it's even going to be more powerful than when he first sent them out, when he was still with them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he commissioned them. He did all these teachings. He did all this ministry. He's having this conversation with them now. They ate the barbecued fish. They touched his body. They knew that it was him. All these things. They were commissioned. And so now, do they really completely get this? Read verse 6 of Acts 1.
Of Acts 1?
Yeah.
Let me go back to verse 6. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?
So he tells them all this awesome stuff. This power is coming, the baptism of coming, fire and power. So their question is, okay, so like, do we get to be the kingdom now?
Well, you remember they, when, you know, when he was walking, when they were walking with him, they were asking about, you know, calling down fire on one group of people there.
That's right. And now you can just see our friend Peter going, okay, well, let's just do it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, okay, great. I'm glad the Spirit's coming and everything, but can we like get rid of the Romans now and have a kingdom? You know, and then he could be king. You know, Jesus could be the king, the earthly kingdom of David and Solomon with all the glory. You know, we could have that again. You can be the king.
All restored.
Yeah, you can be the king. Peter says, well, you know, I could be like the prime minister or the vice king because I'm like really important. And it didn't dawn on them that he's talking about his kingdom. He's talking about a different kingdom. They're still thinking earthly ways.
Yeah.
They've been with him 3 years. They've heard all this stuff. They just heard this thing about spirits coming in a few days. You're going to get all this power and fire. They're still thinking earthly way. And, you know, they didn't understand that this kingdom was going to be a different kind of a kingdom, that it was going to be more than just Israel. It was going to be more than just that little piece of real estate where they were living.
Right.
You know, he had told them that they were going to sit on thrones and they were going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, wow, let's do that now. Cool. We'll have the David, the Davidic kingdom. We'll have the Solomon kingdom. This would be great.
Yeah.
But they don't get it until the Spirit is poured out.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Wilbur's back. This is a great song.
Yes, it is.
Remember, look us up on Facebook and also giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back for the last segment.
From the beginning to the end, it's been. Swear your promises, they never change. Your people will never be put to shame. From the desert to the endless sea, shows of Egypt to the eastern hills, the earth and the sky tremble at your will. Wake up and call on the name of the Lord. Weak, be made strong, you have now been restored. Through the darkness is light. Oh, your kingdom is now inside. Lord God of Israel, arise. Consume us now with your fire. Mountains of Israel, come alive. It's time to bring forth new wine. From now till the end of time. Spirit growing up from all around.
living waters that are raining down. The day of the Lord is at hand.
Wake up and call on the name of the Lord. We be made strong, you have now been restored. For the darkness is light. Oh, your kingdom is now inside.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is the last segment.
Already.
Yikes. I can't even believe it. I just told Stephen we really need to have like a 3-hour show. But anyway.
Oh, my.
So now, you know, our friend Peter and some of these other guys think now we're going to have the kingdom back.
Mm-hmm.
David, Solomon, get rid of the Romans. Jesus, you could be king. We'll be your cabinet, and we're going to have just a great time here, because they couldn't understand what he was talking about with his kingdom.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus, as we were talking about before the break, that there's many things that Jesus was telling them, many things that he was preparing them for as he was appearing to them. And in the, you know, the 16th chapter of Mark, he says to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
These are signs accompanying those who believe in, who believe. So anybody who believes in Jesus, and again, I've talked about this before, is that the first believers understood that they shared in the anointing of Christ,
mm-hmm.
the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon them, the same power of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the Jordan when mm-hmm. he was baptized.
Yes.
And as you were alluding to, that they didn't understand this, when we read from Acts chapter 1, you know, they asked him, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And then Jesus answers them and says, you know, so he's telling them all these things
yeah.
about what they're going to do, this
yeah.
ministry they're going to preach,
yeah,
and what's
yeah,
going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now he gives them a great answer.
And he says, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has established by his own authority,
mm-hmm.
but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Samaria, where the woman at the well lived.
Yeah. Is that where that was at?
Yeah.
Okay.
She started a home group, but they went there sometimes. But anyway, yeah, exactly. So in other words, he kind of gives them a rebuke before he goes.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just about to ascend to heaven, and he gives them a pretty forceful rebuke. Hey, you know what? It's just like when Peter said, well, what about him? He says, hey, you know what? I just told you what you have to do.
Don't worry about him.
Don't worry about him. So, you know, don't worry about the times and the seasons. Don't worry. It's not for you to know when the kingdom. They're talking about two different kingdoms.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's talking about, Peter's talking about David's kingdom with the capital in Jerusalem and so much land around it. Jesus is talking about the kingdom where he sits on the throne of David, rules the whole universe, where every nation is in the kingdom, Jew and Gentile alike.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have said, Peter, listen, I'm going to smack you in a minute if you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. But he doesn't do that because he knows they can't grasp it yet.
Yeah.
So that's why he tells them, when the Spirit comes, then you're going to understand it.
Yeah.
You can't know that now. The kingdom is going to transcend heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be just in Israel. The throne of David's not going to be in Jerusalem. The throne of David's in heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be ruling from there. And you have the knowledge that you need. You have the instructions that I just gave you. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you in a very few days, then you're going to understand what I'm telling you, and you're going to be my witnesses.
Yeah.
And then you're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Then you're going to preach the kingdom. And you're not going to talk about the kingdom and who's going to be in the cabinet and who's going to do this and who's going to do that.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom is not what you think the kingdom is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it happens. You know, if you read through Scripture, you see it happen over and over and over again that they have an idea of what they think is going to happen, but it's totally, it's something different.
Yes.
Totally different. And I think we still encounter that today.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we as believers, we can, you know, we're human.
That's right.
We still can think in human ways.
That's right.
And, we get things wrong.
Oh yeah. And it goes along with what you said about, you know, we create God in our own image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the God I serve would never do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. God, my God would do that. Why come his God won't do that? You know, you have a totally messed up idea of who God is if you want him to conform to your thing, to your system of thinking.
Yeah.
So when Peter says, well, this is great. We've been hearing about Messiah since we were born. Messiah is going to be the ruler of Israel. He's going to reestablish David's kingdom. We're going to have our own political power back, our economic power back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have military power back. And here's the king right here, the Messiah. So, hey, are we going to do that now? Are we going to do that today? Let's go.
Kind of revisiting Mount Tabor.
Yeah.
Lord, it's good that you're here with Moses and Elijah. Should we build some tents? Let's stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go up to the Temple Mount, and you can move into the temple, and, you know, I'll be your administrative secretary, and we'll just do the kingdom stuff. And Jesus say, no. My kingdom is not this.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
But when the Spirit comes, you're going to understand the plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plan of salvation that starts before anything was created and goes to the end. And he's telling them their instructions and their commission, and all he's telling them to do is to wait for a few more days, and then you're not going to have any more questions.
Yeah.
After that, after Pentecost, they didn't have any more questions.
Yeah, they went out and...
Yeah. Peter didn't sit around saying, well, what about the, you know, do we need to build like a capital in Jerusalem? And do we need to... There was no more question, because then they understood what the kingdom was.
Right.
And we're in that boat too.
Mm-hmm.
We are building the kingdom. The kingdom doesn't mean a certain place like Jerusalem is the kingdom. And
right.
Everybody is just going to say, well, yes, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is here. The kingdom's within us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in a different dispensation now than they were. This is the transition point of that.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that, you know, Jesus says the temple, you know, when he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days, he was speaking about his body.
Yes.
And since the Holy Spirit dwells in us,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us,
mm-hmm.
he's going to work through us. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's not that physical temple that people may think of.
That's right.
You know, not that a congregational place of worship is not important.
Yes.
Which it still is, because you still have communal worship.
Sure.
But it's scriptural that the Spirit of God dwells within us.
Oh, no, the show's over already.
We have a few more minutes.
I got some more stuff to say.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. We got to do the Ascension. Anyway,
we don't want to miss that.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we hope you have an awesome week, everyone, and proclaim the kingdom in the power of the Spirit. God Amen. Bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.